So they said they have to invite Yap. Yap has probably been here at least 30 years, I would imagine. And works extensively in the green belt, funding, planting trees, but perhaps you do your own introduction best.
Yes,
for a Mangalore reputation.
Hi, I'm Yap. I'm here since the early 70s, 71, I think. Started out in Kodikarai, what is at that time was a large area where I did organic farming on about 60 acres. It's meanwhile broken up into something like 6 or 8 different settlements. At some point I moved to the other corner of Oroville. I'm now living and working in Ravina, which is the southern tip of Oroville, the closest to Pondi. There I'm doing eco-restoration on 50 acres of wasteland. It's a heavily eroded area. So I've been doing a lot of soil and water conservation work there and afforestation over the past 15 years or so. We're talking about water. First I have to mention that I'm slightly frustrated that I'm sitting here and that I'm not out there planting trees, because that's what I'm actually supposed to do at the moment. We've been waiting for this monsoon for quite a while, and it seems to be there finally. Looks like it might be a decent one. So far we got this year rainfall of about 60 centimeters, which is roughly half of what we should be getting. Normally during this time of the year, the northeast monsoon, we should get something in the range of 75 centimeters, 30 inches. So there's still a lot that we need to have an average year. Water. You just heard from Toby sort of the global picture. I'm going to be very local, talking about work we've done and are doing in Oroville in terms of the water that comes down. I'm not involved in the consumption and the storage, etc., but been working for a long time on trying to holds whatever comes down as rainfall in the area. Palmyra and harvest were mentioned. They've been working in the larger bioregion, mainly constructing dams and fixing up irrigation tanks. That's sort of the macro work. Involves heavy labor, big-scale projects. Most of the work that's been done in Oroville over the years has been on a very micro scale. It starts with bunding the land. A bund is an earth mound, wall, made in the landscape to trap the runoff. I have to first point out the water cannot be seen separate, the soil and water conservation cannot be seen separate from the afforestation efforts. They're like one integrated operation. The reason the afforestation effort in Oroville has been pretty successful is that we invested a lot of energy in first taking care of the soil and the water. That's basically the main secret of it. As compared to large-scale forestation projects done, for instance, by state forest departments that have dismal success rates, mainly because the whole water situation is not taken care of and there's no aftercare. So a soil water conservation is the first step, basically, in the afforestation effort over the years. Like I said, bunding. Where we have two different situations. We worked with existing plots in the landscape that were purchased by Oroville, rectangular plots. So in those cases, we basically reinforced and fixed the existing grid of bunds in the landscape, although they're very often far from ideal. In places where it's possible, we went in for contour bunding. You put your bund on the contour in the land so that they have maximum efficiency. The idea being, as Toby mentioned, to have a zero runoff situation, so that even in the heaviest rainfall, all the water is held on the land and can percolate and recharge the aquifers, which badly need it. The problem at the moment with this sort of work is that in the past we did large-scale bunding, we did large-scale afforestation, very labor-intensive work. At the moment, labor costs are going through the roof, so it becomes more and more difficult to do this with manual labor, as most of the work around you was done over the years. So to some extent, one can go in for mechanization using bobcats, JCBs, etc. But on the small micro watershed scale, this is very often not practical. So we have to see what we do in the future in terms of taking care of the watersheds. Something about the rainfall. The distribution is very roughly, if somebody has the exact figures, please correct me, but in the southwest monsoon we're supposed to get something like 30 centimeters of rainfall. During this monsoon that just started, we should get about 75 centimeters, and then the rest of the rainfall, which is on average 1250 mm, comes down during the summer, during off-season thunderstorms most of the time. The real intensive rainfall mainly takes place during this time of the year, during the monsoon. And the key thing about the whole water conservation effort in Oroville is to size structures and systems to such a degree that they can take the very high intensity rainfalls. The record that I remember was 34 centimeters in 24 hours, so it's more than a foot of rainfall in one day. It's a staggering amount of water in a very short time. You don't see much of the land anymore, basically everything's water. At that time I was working in Kodikrai, and I found seedlings that I had planted along the road to the Matsimandir, the road between CSR and Matsimandir. I found those seedlings 1 kilometer down the slope at the bottom of Kodikrai the next morning. So, total devastation. It's difficult to size water conservation measures to something like that, but generally speaking, it should be able to handle intensive rainfalls of like 10, 15 to 20 centimeters. The watersheds in Oroville, there is a high point in the Matrimandia Gardens, and from there the runoff goes in all directions. There's basically 3 main watersheds towards the coast, Bumapaliam one, that ends up in vast canyons. Most of which have been worked on over the last decades. The last 10-15 years mainly by Kirit, who's built a whole series of dams, and that system works beautifully. I think last year nothing has overflown, so I mean everything going that direction is actually kept on the land. The other main watersheds are the Yerenbai one, which ends up in the Yerenbai tank, one of the irrigation tanks of this vast system that Toby described. And the third one is the southern one, which I would call the Four Corners watershed, which ends up in a canyon that empties itself eventually south of Pondi in the Bay of Bengal. History, when we came here in the 70s, every rainfall you would go to the beach and the whole ocean would be red from the red soil that eroded off the plateau with every rainfall. The early efforts at afforestation and soil and water conservation were, we learned by trial and error, let's say it that way. I remember the early years in Côte d'Ivoire, when we got into forestation, which is an interesting tale in itself. I lived originally somewhere next door here, where Barat Nivas is now. There was a community there called Silence, with about 6-7 huts and a lot of people living there. At some point, the architects of Oroville turned the master plan around its axis and decided that Barat Nivas would be exactly on the place where that community was. I still don't believe that it was coincidence. So we all had to resettle and started a new settlement in Côte d'Ivoire, next to Côte d'Ivoire village. We knew about Barat Nivas coming up, so we wanted to be nice guys, and we decided to start a nursery, a tree nursery, the first tree nursery there. When time came to plant all the seedlings, we were told that Barat Nivas compound could not have any trees because it would spoil the view of the building. So we decided to stick them all in the ground around Côte d'Ivoire. So that was our sort of forced first effort at forestation. We ended up planting most of these trees around the Alankopam tank, which is another one of these water bodies in the area. After the monsoon, it turned out to be the main grazing ground for Alankopam village. So survival rate was probably somewhere around 5% or so. From there, we gradually learned how to deal with the land. The first years, we obviously learned everything from our neighbors in the Tamil villages in terms of what you do with the land, what you can grow, how to deal with the different seasons. And over the years, we started improving on that, started looking around where remaining forests were, started collecting seeds, started bigger nurseries. To get back to the soil and water conservation measures, I covered the bunding. This is done on sort of ground that's reasonably level or has gentle slopes so that you can actually still do bunding on the land. Everything that ends up in the smaller and bigger gullies and the canyons, we try trapping there by a series of check dams, which are either made out of earth or out of masonry. There's a lot of these smaller check dams in the Oroville area. In Ravina alone, there are 33 masonry check dams and endless number of small earth dams. The idea is that these trap whatever of the water cannot be held by the bunding grid, and then at the bottom of that mini watershed, there's sort of a safety valve in the form of an overflow that can handle the excessive rainfall when you have downpours that cannot be handled by the system. I disagree with Toby that we have zero runoff in Oroville. I know of several watersheds that definitely don't hold all their water yet. And the situation in Oroville is that with development in the city area increasing, the runoff from the city is increasing every year. So areas in the greenbelt that were totally under control in the early years face more and more a struggle because the impervious surface in the city increases every year, and so the runoff increases. The best remedy for that would be obviously to keep that water in the city, so create as many percolation zones as possible so that runoff from buildings and paved areas can percolate and recharge the aquifer. I haven't really seen that incorporated in the architecture and the design of new settlements in Oroville yet. Apart from that, obviously rainwater harvesting from all the buildings should be a must to conserve that water and make it available for direct use by the households. Any questions? Because at any point, if you want to comment or interrupt or ask a question, please do so. I must have been extremely lucid.
I'm feeling sorry I let Toby go. It has been a good discussion.
Ah, yes, we could have had
it.
Let's see. A brief overview of the afforestation effort, which is part of this whole picture. Obviously, the water situation in Oroville wouldn't be the same as it is now if it hadn't been for the massive afforestation that has taken place over the years. Most of the water catchment structures would have been silted up a long time ago if it hadn't been for the tree cover that we've established. So that's another way in which the two are totally linked together. The vegetation that we introduce needs the rainfall, and so it should be kept locally on the land so the seedlings that are planted can benefit from it. And the trees will open up the soil, make it porous so that percolation improves and there's less and less runoff. The biomass that's produced, the mulch on the land, it all acts as a sponge and reduces the runoff, and the water can reach the aquifer rather than running off to the Bay of Bengal. We're past 11. I think if there's no questions, I kept it.
It's about, there is a new movement, especially in the United States and Europe now, to replace agriculture by a type of thing they call forest gardening, where they put useful crops in their natural environment, but not in big size, only in small size. And it's a little bit more labor intensive, but it absolutely don't need pesticides and fertilizers because it's working with the natural soil and with the natural resistance of plants in their right habitat. I feel that's something we should also do more in Oroville instead of doing this large-scale farming, which we are trying to do and which is not very successful. Yeah. And then the second thing you mentioned was the labor situation. And as I remember, in the beginning of Oroville, we did everything ourselves here, and there was practically no labor or very little outside labor. And I think it's a question of education that we have to come back to this form of working on things with our own forces.
Fully agree.
What possibilities and opportunities you see that we can really start to interest our own young people for this afforestation and also for this different type of approach towards agriculture and food production.
The first thing you mentioned, permaculture is the prime example of that. It's been around for decades. Different people in Oroville have applied it to the landscaping. Admittedly, it should be used on a much wider scale. Everybody should basically have a little food-growing landscape around their house instead of stupid lawns that require vast amounts of water or ornamentals that require the same. Oroville still has vast amounts of progress to make on the way it deals with its landscape. That's for sure. And water consumption, Toby mentioned that briefly. As for the manual labor, yes, obviously we did everything ourselves in the early years. The dress code in the 70s was loincloth. It has meanwhile evolved to shorts, and some hardcore cases still wear lungis, and of course the tunde is still an integral part of the hardcore green workers' outfit. I still try to balance my life in the sense that I do a lot of computer work. I'm into mapping the resources in Oroville on the land and the local forest type. But I see to it that at least half my time I still am out there on the land with a Mamti and a crowbar, you know, working it. This sort of ethic is almost gone in Oroville. Most people sit now behind desks like I'm doing now. Good luck trying to revert that. Yeah. Yes?
But there's some historical falsity error in your statement.
Yeah, of course, we didn't do everything ourselves.
The point is, earlier the farmers had more local labor because they were cheaper. They're trying to manage with less and less, and the forest trade was not so much different. You can say there are less people in comparison to the horrible population involved in manual farm and forest work. That's correct. But not that we had so much less labor. But at that time, we had more. In proportion sometimes.
Yes, when the bulk of the work on the land was done, of course a lot of external labor was used. You don't make big earth dams on your own. I mean, you can do it, but then you're busy for the next 10 years. So when I talk about, you know, doing stuff ourselves, I meant we were fully physically involved. It doesn't mean we did everything. Certain jobs, of course, required big amounts of external labor.
I don't know whether the audience here, because there are many people who are here only as visitors or long-term volunteers, gets the whole picture.
No.
Because from Toby, it was also not, we didn't spend enough time on where we are in Oroville. We are on a plateau.
Yes.
And half of the plateau, the east, runs into the ocean, and the other half, the west, runs into these local rainwater catchment lakes, the Yeris, which are all interconnected and drain down to the culinary tank with the tank and from there into the sea. So the point is, we have a good rain, an average of 125 centimeters, this high from the ground, is a good amount. It is more than the average globally. It is more than most European countries. But the problem is, 2/3 come down in 2 months, now expected. So it is not that we don't have enough rain yet. It's liberal rains. Not as much as the West Coast, but still good rains on the global average. In Rajasthan, we have villages with 5 centimeter rain. In Assam, we have villages with 10 meter rain. That's the spectrum within which you work. We have 125 centimeter average, but the average does not mean we have it every year. We have years with half the amount, 60 centimeter, and we have years with 2 meters. So if we say we don't have enough, our benchmark is always the average. Obviously, we should have 120.
No, I'm just saying if we get that, then it's a decent year.
Yes.
Right.
If we get 2 meters, great. Yeah.
But also, I mean, if you look at Israel, it practically catches almost every drop of rain.
Yes, now can we come to his work?
Right.
How to avoid the rain that comes and runs down into the Bay of Bengal is lost for us. Not lost for the globe, but for us, it is sea water, fresh water, it is lost. So we try to catch everything. How do you catch it? A vegetation cover is the best way to catch water. So forest, shrubs,
no paved roads,
cover, whatever, as much vegetation cover as possible, you can catch almost 100% by zero vegetation cover, you can lose 100%, you definitely lose 100%, you lose 99%. So the context in which Yard works, in which our forests work, is catching everything locally, not just to grow one tree, but to grow that tree, to build up the cover that catches everything, and drains it into the ground and discharges the aquifer under our feet. But now comes the crucial question, how much did forestry contribute to recharging the aquifer? Because obviously the exploitation is still bigger than all the forestation efforts could revert.
Yeah, now when we started this work in the early 70s, we had these sort of wild dreams about small perennial streams in Oroville. We figured if we catch all this rainfall, put it into the ground, forest the plateau, you know, you're going to have little streams gurgling through the landscape. It didn't exactly happen that way, because the frustrating part, which Toby already mentioned in his talk, was that our neighbors and partly Oroville itself pumped that water faster out of the ground than we can put it in. And so we have this nasty situation of a water table that keeps on dropping, as was pointed out. That's a subject in itself, but I think the largest contributor is the Tamil Nadu policy of not charging the farmers for the electricity that they use to pump it out. I've seen tremendous wastage of water. The southern tip where I live has a shortcut to Pondi. In the summer, often when I take that shortcut, the road is underwater because somebody is flood irrigating the fields adjacent to the road, and a little bund of the irrigation channel breaks and they're irrigating the road sometimes for hours. It's incredible the amount of water that gets wasted, and this is all largely, at least in my perception, on account of the fact that it doesn't cost anything. Per definition, any resource that is free gets wasted, so nobody in the Tamil Nadu government has had the guts so far to change that policy, because I guess the farmers' lobby being that strong, that it must be political suicide if you would try to charge them for the electricity. But that's one of the biggest problems in terms of the whole water situation in Tamil Nadu that I can see.
Let's take just one more question. I guess a couple more, and then
go for it, Beth.
Well, I was just wondering, since water is such a, all of these resources, but water is such a bioregional resource, so like what we're doing in Oroville, what you're doing in Oroville, is huge for the whole bioregion, but then what about like the neighboring villages and the other areas in our bioregion? I guess what do you see, or are there projects going on with reforestation in the villages? Is that even possible?
They have been there. We've had over the years several projects to try to, to assist farmers in bonding their agricultural fields, for instance, and introducing trees into the farming practice. It's a very difficult one. I've gone back to places where we've assisted in bonding agricultural fields, and all it takes is, one tractor that shoves the corner out of that field open because they need the access, and the whole bonding grid is useless. The water all runs out. Trees and agriculture are a notoriously difficult subject. Most farmers are convinced that trees will compete with their crops, that they rob the crops of nutrients, sunlight, water. So yes, there have been projects over the years, but success has been not great. I hope that the efforts of, for instance, Harvest in terms of monitoring water use in the villages and trying to get people into growing different crops, because I think Toby mentioned it, the whole farming belt, for instance, below me towards Pondi, everything that's grown there, it's basically the four crops that require the most water. It's paddy, sugarcane, bananas and coconuts. I think those must be the four top water consumers of the crops that are grown. And it's almost exclusively that's grown. So, yeah, the long-term picture is really grim. But I hope that the efforts of the work that, for instance, Palmyra and Harvest are doing, that it'll bear some fruit at some point. Or that somebody finally decides to change the electricity situation so that water will get used more efficiently.
I understood that to be said that Romanians are using 400 liters a day, which is much more than European countries. Where does it come?
Gardens mainly, the lawns, the green cancer. Bill Mollison, the guru of of permaculture called them the green cancer lawns. You go look in some residential areas and you'll see vast lawns, or you don't have to go that far, you go look at Matimandia gardens. I don't want to get in, I'll probably be hung if I go on now, but... The last point I would just, since I'm at Matimandir, the lake, can I just mention the lake? This is, I think, one of the, I don't know, I have to try to find a decent word for it.
Disasters? But,
yes, disasters, thank you. Ideas that has come up in Oroville over the years, and there are still people who are trying to force it down everybody's throat by actually even marking out the future lake. I think it's a fallacy. I mean, I don't understand how anybody with a little bit of common sense can envisage a huge lake. First of all, where does the water come from to fill it up? Second, in the summer you lose up to 1 inch a day by evaporation. Just to replenish the water that you lose on a daily basis is a humongous amount of water. I don't understand how anybody who wants to call this a city of the future can actually come up with a proposal like that. It's way off the map as far as I'm concerned. It sets an extremely bad example to, you know, we want to tell our farmers not to waste water, and we plan on doing it on such a scale, off, as far as I'm concerned. Sorry. Any other questions?
Yeah,
that's it?
Yeah.
Okay.
What's your name?
Jaap. Jaap. It's Dutch and spelled J-A-A-P.
Okay. Historical and personal perspective.